This article is brought to you by the best-selling booksy Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to have a difficult conversation about credit stealing or idea appropriation. A direct, step-by-step method for reclaiming your voice and your work. In short, credit stealing corrodes professional trust faster than almost any other workplace injury. Staying silent protects no one. Name the specific incident before you name the pattern. Ground every statement in evidence, not emotion. Leave the conversation with a clear agreement, not just an airing of grievances. Definition: a difficult conversation about credit stealing is a structured, direct exchange in which you address the specific appropriation of your idea or work by another person. It requires preparation, factual grounding, and a focus on future accountability rather than personal blame. Someone I worked with years ago watched a colleague present her entire restructuring proposal to the senior leadership team. Word for word, he had her name nowhere on it. She sat in that room silent, burning certain that speaking up in the moment would make her look petty or unstable. So she said nothing. 6 months later, he was promoted partly on the strength of that idea. She is still angry about it today. Having a difficult conversation about credit stealing is not a comfortable thing. It is also not optional if you care about your professional standing and your own sense of integrity. This guide gives you a clear, ordered process for entering that conversation prepared, staying grounded when it gets uncomfortable, and coming out the other side with something useful. Why addressing idea appropriation feels so loaded. The reason people avoid this particular difficult conversation is not cowardice. It is the genuinely complicated set of risks they are weighing. Raise it clumsily, and you look thin skinned. Stay silent, and you watch someone else build a career on your thinking. There's also the question of intent. Some credit stealing is deliberate. Some is careless. Some happens because working environments are chaotic, and attribution gets lost in the shuffle. Working in certain that the other person is a villain rarely serves you, even when you are right. You need enough emotional neutrality to have a real conversation, and that is hard when you feel genuinely wronged. How Annette needs drive team conflict and what to say to restore synergy gets at something important here. What looks like a conflict about behaviour is often a conflict about recognition, belonging, and professional value. Knowing that can help you approach this conversation with a clearer head. Before you sit down, what you need in place first. Do not walk into this conversation unprepared. Preparation is not optional. It is what separates a productive confrontation from an emotional eruption that goes nowhere. Document the incident specifically. Write down what happened, where it happened, and what evidence you have. The email where you shared the proposal, the message trail, the dated document, the meeting notes. You need facts, not feelings, as your foundation. Get clear on your goal. Are you seeking acknowledgement? A correction to the record, an assurance it will not happen again. Walking in without a clear goal means you are likely to vent without resolution. A good difficult conversation ends with an agreement, not just a release of pressure. Choose a private setting and request the meeting directly. Do not ambush the person in the corridor. Send a calm, neutral message. I would like to find 30 minutes to talk about something work-related. Are you free Thursday? That framing gives the other person a chance to come in ready, and it signals you're treating this seriously. For guidance on holding your composure once you're in the room, the core framework to stay grounded during a tense workplace conversation is worth reading before you go in. How to have a difficult conversation about credit stealing, the process. Step 1. Open with the observation, not the accusation. Begin with what you saw, not what you concluded. This distinction matters more than almost anything else in this conversation. An accusation invites defensiveness. An observation invites response. Say, I want to talk about the presentation on Tuesday. The proposal that was shared with the leadership team was one I drafted and sent to you on the 14th. My name was not on it when it was presented. That is it. State what happened. Cause. Let them respond. Step 2. Let them respond before you say anything else. This step requires real discipline. After you state the observation, stop talking. Do not fill the silence. Do not soften what you just said by adding reassurances. Give the other person space to answer. The response will tell you a great deal. Some people will acknowledge what happened immediately. Some will explain it as an oversight. Some will deny it. Each of those responses calls for a different continuation. But none of them require you to react before you've heard them fully. Listen without interrupting. If you feel yourself getting agitated, breathe. Your job in this moment is to gather information, not to win. Step 3. Acknowledge what they say, then return to the facts. Whatever they say, acknowledge it before you push back. This is not agreement. It is respect for their having spoken. If they say it was an oversight, I hear that. I want to make sure we are on the same page about what I need going forward. If they deny it, I understand you see it differently. What I can tell you is that the document I sent you on the 14th contains the same recommendations that were presented. I have that email. Then stop. You are not there to prosecute. You are there to establish a shared understanding. If you need a broader framework for navigating this kind of conflict, how to use the deal method to resolve conflicts that are fracturing, Team Synergy lays out a reliable 4-stage process. Step 4. Name the professional impact clearly. Once the exchange has settled, name what this cost you. Not in emotional terms, but in professional ones. When my contribution is not attributed, it affects my professional visibility. That matters to me, and I want to make sure it does not happen again. This step is important because it shifts the conversation from the past to the future. You are not simply lodging a complaint. You are establishing what you need going forward. That framing is harder to dismiss, and it gives the conversation somewhere useful to go. Step 5. Make a specific request. A difficult conversation without a specific request often ends in vague goodwill that changes nothing. Be precise about what you are asking for. Here are 3 versions depending on the situation. I would like you to send a follow-up to the leadership team that attributes the proposal to me. Going forward, I would like my name on any document I author before it goes to others. When you reference my ideas in a meeting, I would like you to name me in that moment. Pick the one that fits. If more than one applies, state both. You are not asking for a favor. You are making a professional request that is entirely reasonable. Step 6. Agree on what happens next. The conversation should end with a specific agreement, spoken aloud by both parties, not a vague "we will figure it out." Something concrete. So we are agreeing that going forward, anything I draft will carry my name before it goes anywhere. Is that right? Ask them to confirm. That verbal confirmation matters. It creates a shared record of what was decided. If the situation repeats, you have a clear reference point. You can also follow up with a brief written summary. Just confirming what we discussed earlier today, going forward, attribution of my work will be included before distribution. For situations where this conversation is happening inside a team context with others watching or affected, how to handle conflict during meetings offers specific guidance on managing those dynamics. Step 7. Watch what follows and act if nothing changes. A difficult conversation is not closed when you leave the room. The agreement you reached needs to be honored. If it is, fine. If it is not, you need to act, and act promptly. Return for a second conversation if the behavior repeats. We spoke about this 2 weeks ago, and I want to address it again because the same thing happened. At that point, you may also need to involve a manager or HR, and your documentation becomes critical. Do not let a second or third incident pass without response. Silence after the first conversation was painful. Silence after the second is a pattern you're endorsing. If the working relationship has deteriorated significantly, how the bridge method rebuilds working relationships after tension has created a genuine breakdown gives you a structured path back to functional collaboration. When the person who took credit is your manager, this variation changes the difficulty of the conversation significantly, but not the core process. You still prepare. You still lead with observation. You still make a specific request. What changes is the framing and the stakes. With a manager, anchor your request in team effectiveness rather than personal grievance. When my contributions are attributed correctly, it helps the team understand what each of us is working on. It also helps me stay motivated to bring my best thinking forward. That framing is harder to dismiss because it speaks to something a manager genuinely cares about: performance and output. It does not remove the personal dimension, but it gives the conversation a professional hook. If you're preparing to raise a concern with a manager and need help structuring how the broader team dynamic gets addressed, how to start a difficult conversation that is blocking your team synergy walks through the opening stages in detail. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. What goes wrong in these conversations? After decades of watching people attempt these confrontations, I can tell you the same mistakes appear again and again. Here are the three most common, and what to do instead. The mistake: going in with a list of every incident over the past 2 years. Why it happens: the anger has been building, and this feels like the moment to empty it all out. What to do instead? Start with one incident. The most recent, the clearest, the one you can document. A specific case is far more powerful than a catalogue of grievances. The mistake: asking why did you do that as your opening question. Why it happens: you want an explanation, and that feels like the natural question. What to do instead? Lead with observation, not interrogation. Why did you do that? Put the other person on trial. Here is what I've observed opens a conversation. The mistake: accepting a vague apology and leaving without an agreement. Why it happens: the apology feels like resolution. The discomfort ends and you want to be done. What to do instead? Accept the apology and then continue. Thank you. I also want to make sure we agree on what happens going forward. An apology without an agreement is just an emotional exhaust valve for situations where these conversations spiral into genuine refusal to engage. How to use the deal method to diffuse tension between two colleagues who refuse to cooperate offers a structured path through the particular wall. Your preparation checklist before the conversation. Use this before you sit down. Every item you cannot tick is a gap that needs closing first. Number 1. I have written down the specific incident, what happened, when, and where. Number 2. I have the supporting evidence, the email, draft, document, or meeting record. Number 3. I know what outcome I'm seeking from this conversation. Number 4. I have my opening statement prepared, observation, not accusation. Number 5. I know what specific request I am making. Number 6. I have chosen a private setting and requested the meeting in neutral terms. Number 7. I know what I will do if the behavior continues after this conversation. If you cannot tick all 7, do not go into the conversation yet. The preparation is not a formality. It is what keeps you grounded when the conversation gets difficult and your thinking starts to cloud. After the conversation, protect yourself going forward. The best outcome from this difficult conversation is a changed pattern of behavior. But you should also build habits that make future appropriation harder to pull off. Send email summaries after verbal conversations where ideas are discussed. Following on from our chat this morning, here is a summary of the proposal I outlined. Name your documents with your name and the date. Reference your own contributions directly in meetings. Building on what I shared last week, these are not aggressive acts. They are professional habits that create a clear record and remove the ambiguity that makes credit dealing possible. This much I know for certain: the difficult conversation about credit dealing is one of the most worthwhile confrontations you can have at work. Handled well, it earns respect. It also signals, clearly, that you understand your own value. That signal matters more than people realize. The difficult conversation about credit, prepared for and handled with precision, is how you stop the pattern before it defines how others see your career. Frequently asked questions. What is a difficult conversation about credit dealing? A difficult conversation about credit dealing is a direct, structured exchange in which you address the fact that someone else presented your idea or work as their own. It focuses on specific incidents, your professional impact, and a clear path forward without attacking the other person. How do I start a difficult conversation about idea appropriation? Start by documenting the specific incident, then request a private meeting. Open with what you observed, not an accusation. Say something like, I want to talk about the presentation last Tuesday. I noticed my proposal was presented without my name attached, and I would like to understand what happened. What if the person denies stealing credit for my work? Stay grounded in your documentation. Denial is common in these conversations. Return to the specific evidence, the email you sent, the draft you shared, the date. You are not there to prove guilt. You are there to establish what happened and what changes going forward. How do I have this difficult conversation with my boss? Conversations with a manager about credit require extra preparation. Choose your timing carefully, keep your tone curious rather than accusatory, and focus on professional impact rather than personal grievance. If direct conversation produces no change, a written record and HR involvement become appropriate next steps. Can a difficult conversation about credit stealing damage my career? Avoiding the conversation is often the greater career risk. When you consistently fail to claim your contributions, others fill that silence. A well-prepared, direct conversation earns respect more often than it costs it, provided you stay specific, calm, and focused on the work rather than the person. How do I prevent idea appropriation from happening again? Build habits of visible attribution email summaries after verbal discussions, named documents, and direct references to your contributions in meetings. These habits create a paper trail that makes appropriation far harder and removes ambiguity about who originated an idea. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.